This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Good morning, and this really isn't the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University because it is graduation day at Stratford, so I guess we're all gathered in the virtual auditorium for our graduation this year. 2011. The doc is away today because he's attending those ceremonies. I'll be filling in for him, and we'll have a special edition here of the Best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. We will start off with a trip into the mailbag, and this is a very timely piece. This is something that the doc has talked about many times on the show, this book, What Color Is Your Parachute? And it's great advice for the graduate or anybody else who's looking for a new career. Here we go. This is the Best of Tech Talk.
I think we should turn directly to the email questions now.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
I got this letter from Dave, and I wanted to bring this letter up this morning because it's very apropos. It's the same kind of question I get from students that are graduating from Stratford, and today is graduation at Stratford. We're always very happy to when our graduates are coming along and we graduate. It's one of the best days of the year for Stratford University. And so whenever we have a graduation ceremony, we basically rent the grand ballroom at the hotel. We have parents and friends coming in, and we have a very nice ceremony, and we get students who receive their associate degree, their bachelor's degree, or their master's degree. But the big question that all the students always have when they graduate from Stratford is, what about a job?
Hey, how about that? All this education.
All this education. And Stratford prides itself on the fact that we give the core competencies that employers need. And so our students have a very excellent placement rate coming out of the school.
But By the way, nice cap and gown.
Well,
looks
thank
very
you.
Becoming
thank you
on
very
you.
Very, very fetching. Yeah.
And
it drapes nicely.
And I have the nice stripes on the side of my cap and
you
gown.
You get more stripes than anyone else because
right.
You're the captain of the Starship
exactly.
Command. Right.
And so Dave sent me this email. It's the same kind of question that I get from graduates. He says, okay, what kind of career advice do you have when looking for a new job? And students are always doing that. And, of course, the one thing that doesn't work very well is sending resumes out to 1,000 locations. That's really not a very effective way, very effective numbers method to get a new job. And what I recommend is a method which is outlined in a book by Dick Bowles, What Color Is Your Parachute. That's been on the bestseller list, actually, for over 25 years, and Dick Bowles has got a really great approach to this. Dick was mentored by a guy by the name of John Crystal. John Crystal used to live in McLean, Virginia, mm-hmm. And 30 years ago, I took a six-week, a two-month course from John, and I was trying to learn how all of this was done, and this was the same time that John was working with Dick Bowles while Dick was writing the book, What Color's Your Parachute, And for the first few years, the book was dedicated to John, and he had a when John died a few years ago, he had a short memory chapter about John Crystal. But John's approach was really quite unique, and that's what Dick Bowles' approach is. It's not based on the resume. You see, the problem with the resume, you get what's called resume lock. When people get a job, it's like fishing. You sit there, you throw your hook out, and some fish bites. You don't really know what's a bass or a perch, and so all of a sudden you catch a perch.
You need to use the right bait.
Yes, but then the people reel in, they get a perch. Now maybe they're really a bass fisherman, but they have a perch. So then they put on their resume, I caught a perch, and then they fish again and they catch another perch. Pretty soon their resume says, hey, you're a perch fisherman. You're not a bass fisherman.
All you're going to catch is perch.
That's right. And so they're locked into their resume. And so he advises people to break out of that and talk about not what you have done, but what you could do for mm-hmm. your employer in the future. Focus on the future, not focus on the past. When I took this course with John, it was an interesting experience. There was a young lady in the class. She was actually a legal secretary, and John would say, well, who are you? What are you? She says, well, I'm just a secretary. She kept saying that, I'm just a secretary, because somehow people categorize themselves by their job instead of by who they are.
A secretary can do so many things. There's so many things they have to be able to do.
I know. It's much broader than that. Well, when we went through the process of talking to this young lady, I'm not going to give her name on the air, it turned out that she was extremely interested in history.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been to every historical building in the area. She had studied them. She knew when they were built, how it tied into the local history. She was actually almost a professional historian. But if you ask her what she was, she said, I'm just a secretary. So what we did in that course, we said, well, what we'd like you to do is do some informational surveying. Go out to the historical organizations and survey them to find out what's going on with them. So she went out and talked to a couple of organizations. She went to this first one, and the guy who was president of that organization was astounded at how much she knew about local history and local buildings. He recommended her to another historical society. She ended up getting a superb job with a historical society doing exactly what she loved.
And see, that's it. It's not just what you've been paid to do for your career, but it's what you know and what it is that you like to do and the other skills that you have that you should include.
That's exactly right. It's John called that your tropisms. It's what you naturally migrate toward when somebody's not paying you. That's really what you should do, so that there's no difference between your work and your play. What you naturally do when you're just at home, and nobody's looking over your shoulder, is really what you should focus on, because that tends to be what you do best.
And these are things that could come out in a job interview, but if you don't get past the resume part, they're never going to know these
things. But do employees really buy that? Do they really believe that, you know, just because you say, well, I would like to do this or I can do this, that you can actually do that and that you'd be good at it?
The thing is, when she did this, and I'm going to give some other examples. When she went and talked to the historical, she didn't say, I believe that I could do a lot in history. She said, for the last 10 years, I have been to every single building. I have studied them. This is what I have done.
That's the difference.
Now, but you see, none of that experience was on her resume,
mm-hmm.
because resumes, unfortunately, are focused on paid experience. I'm not saying that you don't have experience, but it's unpaid experience.
Right.
Now, that's why I gave a whole series of IT projects to work on at home. I mean, when people want to get a job in IT, you have to have done something. Now, it doesn't mean it has to be for pay. And so, you know, I was recommending that people download the Linux operating system. It's free. It was developed by Linus Torvalds. He's going to be a future guy that I highlight on the IT profiles. And it's free. You download it. You can install it on a relatively old machine, because it's not hardware intense. You can take one of the old doorstops in your house, install Linux, and play around with it. Then when you go to an interview, you say, yeah, well, I've been working on Linux. I've been configuring it. I've got it hooked up to the Internet. I've got a browser set up for it, and you can talk about it, and you can secure it. One thing that comes with Linux is an Apache web server that's also open source. So you can configure your own web server, and you can simply talk about it. Now, what we're going to talk a little bit about later, you can also, on your web server, you can install a scripting language called PHP, which is open source. And, in fact, that's the Stratford website's all PHP. And I'm going to talk about Lerner Wardorf. What is his name? Let's see. Rasmus Lerdorf, who was the creator of PHP.
Rasmus Lerdorf, yeah.
In IT.
And so so the key here, and if you can go back to previous shows and previous links that I have on the Tech Talk website, is go back and do an actual IT project at home.
Mm-hmm.
So you got something to talk about, just like this young lady who was just a secretary actually was a historical expert. And then you've got something to actually talk about. Now, if you're having trouble, say, installing your PHP or doing PHP or installing Linux, there are Linux users groups. And these guys just love to help you. So you go there, you say, you know, I got Linux, I don't know what I'm doing. And you'll have 20 people who volunteer to help you get it going, because they want to see somebody who's interested. They want to see that spark. Now, what IT companies want. They want somebody who's willing to try something new. Because let's face it, in IT, you never know what your next... some new software comes in. You've never seen it before. Your boss says, hey, I've got this new software. Do you think we can get up and running next week? You've never seen it before. They want somebody who's got the intensity and the follow-through to do something that they've never done before, figure it out, and get it up and running. That's what you're demonstrating when you're setting up Apache, setting up Linux, setting up PHP, setting up MySQL, which is a structured query language database. Open source, free. All of these you can download for free.
And this is the Best of Tech Talk this graduation day 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Learn everything you ever wanted to know about Tech Talk. Search our past shows by going to techtalkonline.com. Learn more about Stratford University at stratford.edu. If you just tuned in and you missed the beginning of the show, this show will replay today after the Nats game at 5 o'clock here on Federal News Radio. Stand by, more of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Virtual Faculty Lounge, as we're calling it today, the Virtual Faculty Auditorium at Stratford University. It's a graduation day. The doc is away presiding over commencement ceremonies at the Stratford University campus in Falls Church, Virginia. So now it is my pleasure to tell you that it is time for...
Profiles in IT!
Some luminary in the IT field. We'll go back to historical figures, current figures. There'll be a wide range of folks we talk about. But today we're talking about Linus Torvald. He's the developer of the Linux kernel. Linus was born December 28th, 1969, in Helsinki, Finland. Now, he was named, his parents contended he was named after Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize in chemistry. Linus Pauling applied quantum mechanics to chemistry. I mean, he really took some of the physics ideas, put them in chemistry, and they developed some great ideas on chemical bonds, and he did that. Now, later in life, Linus Torvalds contended that actually he believes he was named after Linus, the carrying blanket guy in Peanuts.
How self-deprecating. It yeah. Sounds like Mom and Dad set the bar pretty high for this kid early on.
Well, they did. They certainly did. They were his parents, I have to tell you, were radical communists.
And he's a young guy, too. What is he, 37, 38 years old?
That's right. He was. He's a young guy. He wrote Linux when he was 21. I mean, he started young. He had a mascot, which was his personal mascot, which was a penguin named Tux, T-U-X.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandfather gave him a Commodore VIC-20. Well, his grandfather had a Commodore VIC-20. He bought it when he was about 9 or 10, and he let Linus program on it. And Linus, by age 10 or 12, was actually writing computer games for the Commodore. I mean, pretty young.
Now, you know, you mentioned his mascot, the penguin. That brought to mind, I never have heard what a penguin sounds like. Have you?
No, I've not. I've only seen them.
I've never heard them either. And that this morning I went looking for what is it that a penguin sounds like. So we've got this right here. It sounds like an agitated penguin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a bird.
It does, a big bird.
It sounds like a big bird.
So there's the mascot right
there's
there.
The there's the mascot.
Tux.
I don't think people are associating the sound of the penguin to the mascot. Now, when his father died, he gave him his computer, and he said he continued to programming. In 1988, Linus began studying computer science at the University of Helsinki. And he bought a better computer than he bought the mighty 386 and began learning assembly language. Now, assembly language is sort of the basic language that allows you to manipulate the CPU directly. And this is the kind of language that you have to learn if you're going to, say, be working on an operating system. And he started writing software drivers. He wrote a software driver for a floppy disk and he wrote a software assembler. In 1990, the university purchased a MicroVax computer, and Linus began learning Unix. He ultimately earned his master's degree from University of Helsinki, and he spent time on this Unix operating system while he was at school. And what he did initially. Installed a version. The trouble with Unix, it had to be running on a big, like on a big mainframe or a MicroVax. You couldn't run Unix on your little lowly PC. But there was a program that one of the professors had come up with called Minix, M-I-N-I-X, and it was an operating system that was like Unix that would run on a PC. So he installed Minix on his PC and started playing around with it. But he didn't really like the way Linux. He felt it was too restricted. He didn't think it was written very well. So he started writing a replacement for Linux, and he started writing a compact operating system for his PC. And he initially called it Freaks, F-R-E-A-X. But later his friend said, why don't you just call it Linux? And so he named the thing Linux. I think it's a much better name.
It is a much better name.
Yeah.
But it's funny. The his history is very much he's done what... Just exactly what
that's
you
right.
Preached.
I mean, he actually picked a project that he loved and he just started working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the thing that made a difference with this was back in the 1990, 1991. He was only 21 years old when he wrote this operating system. Now there are two different approaches to business that you could take. Around the same time, there was a guy by the name of Bill Gates who was actually developing operating systems. He decided to make money on his. Linus Torvalds...
And he made a lot of money,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Linus Torvalds, and later on we're going to... He's one of the richest nerds, by the way.
Yes, he is.
Listen, I knew... And I'll get ahead of myself just a minute. I knew that nerds had really arrived... When Bill Gates, the richest nerd, was interviewed by Playboy magazine in 1994.
They arrived, they were cool, and they were sexy then.
That's right. I just read that interview this morning. Only the interview, because it was a purely text article.
Of course, right. There were no pictures.
No. So, anyway, Linus, instead of trying... It's basically a text-based chat group then. And he made the code available to anybody who wanted it, free of charge. In other words, to any other nerd, free of charge. And it turned out that this was like the perfect code at the right time. You see, everybody wanted to learn about operating systems then. Unix had been, which had been developed by AT&T. And see, it was just so it was a huge operating system. It was too complicated to really comprehend for a beginner. But Linux was so small in the beginning that people could sort of get at it. It was like kind of like a Model T car. You could go in there and work on it. So people started improving it, and there became a group of devoted folks who just kept adding and developing code, and it became extremely popular, and it became sort of the flagship model of what they call open source software. And Linux. And that penguin's name is Tux. And so whenever you see Linux around, you'll see Tux. I got a picture of Tux here on the page here that we're talking about. You can see old
Tux
sitting
there. He looks awfully friendly. Friendly and fat. He's eating too many Cheetos, it looks like.
Linus says this is how a penguin looks after it's had its fill of herring. And he says that's exactly the look you get. It's sort of like a big Buddha who's just been sitting there
with webbed feet.
Yeah, a big Buddha. So this thing became popular because at that moment, open source was popular. Linux was relatively small and easy to understand. It was the right operating system at the right time. There's a book on it, an accidental success. It was kind of an accidental success. And eventually, there were commercial versions of Linux where people would take the open source kernel and they would wrap drivers around it and wrap installers around it so people could use it and then sell it commercially. You've got Red Hat, you've got Coral, you've got Caldera, you've got Turbo Linux. You've got quite a few versions out there. And so Linux really grew to become quite a competitor of Windows. Microsoft is looking at that as a real competitor. Probably on the Internet of the servers, I would say 70% of the servers on the Internet are running Linux and Apache. All of the servers that Google uses run Linux. They don't run they're not really running Microsoft. So this was a real example of somebody who contributed something to the IT world and then gave it out in the form of open source. From 97 to 2003, he worked at Transmeta, which was coming out with a sort of a competitor CPU for Intel that really didn't make it anywhere. He's now working up at Open Source Development Labs in Beaverton, Oregon. And he set up recently Linux International, which is a nonprofit corporation that holds the trademark for Linux. At this point, Linus has only written 2% of the kernel. So many other people have contributed to it that his actual contributions are only 2%. But he's managing the overall kernel.
Is he a rich guy?
No, he's not really rich.
Really?
No. He really, his focus was not on making money. But he said, being able to make the world a better place by inventing an operating system, he said, just makes him feel good. So he's motivated by something different than, say, Bill Gates, the other nerd that we're going to talk about.
His parents' communist views apparently rubbed off on him, I suspect.
Now, listen, if we compare open source software to communism in any kind of way, we're going to be really dead.
This is the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. We apologize for the merengue musical interlude in the middle of Profiles in IT. Somebody will pay dearly for that, I assure you. Hope you're paying attention because we will have a quiz here very shortly based on the profile of Linus Torvalds, that of it which you could hear. So we'll have that question for you in just a moment. The number to call is 877-936-9333, 877-936-9333. This is the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. Nope, it's not Monty Hall. It's not Ed McMahon. It's not Dr. Richard Church. It's this guy right here.
I, again, would be this guy right here, and my name is Jim Russ. This is the Best of Tech Talk, and it's time now for you to prove to me how smart you really are. And if you are indeed smart and you're the first caller, you will win a fabulous prize. Lunch for two at the Escoffier at Stratford University, fine dining on the campus of Stratford University in Falls Church, or I do believe we can turn these into tickets to Cafe Karam at the campus in Woodbridge, which is located near the fabulous IKEA complex, just off I-95. So, we were just talking about Linus Torvalds, who was the guy who came up with Linux, which was basically a refined version of Unix, which was Unix for your PC. I have two questions for you. You may pick your question, because when you have the substitute teacher, usually the test is a joke. So, question number one is, what was Linus Torvalds' mascot, if you know that answer, or what was the original name for Linux? So give us the answer to either one of those questions by calling us right now at 877-936-9333, 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. And now this on the Best of Tech Talk.
When I was looking up Linus Torvalds, I ran across this quote by Linus. He said, "I was a nerd, a geek. From fairly early on, he said I didn't duct tape my glasses together, but I might as well have, because I had all the other traits. I was good at math, good at physics, and with no social graces whatsoever. And this was before being a nerd was considered a good thing." So I was kind of curious about the word nerd. Mm-hmm. I mean, N-E-R-D, I mean, I went to Wikipedia. It's a derogatory designation to refer to somebody who passionately pursues intellectual knowledge rather than engaging in social activities.
Kind of like that.
Yeah. And, Bill Gates is the richest nerd.
Mm-hmm. He sure is.
And, nerd was, in the beginning, it was sort of, you would deride somebody by calling them a nerd, but then nerd became popular. In the New Yorker wrote, "To many people, the rise of Bill Gates marks the revenge of the nerd. He's the richest nerd. Actually, Bill Gates represents the end of the word nerd as a bad thing as we know it."
Exactly.
And so Bill Gates, of course, as I alluded to earlier, when he was interviewed by Playboy magazine in that 1994 Playboy, which I've got here on the screen right now, only the text.
Oh, good.
Only the text.
Great.
Only the text.
It doesn't involve a spread of him, does it?
No.
Oh, good.
No. And this is actually posted to a Virginia Tech website. So it's not good.
Here is an ordinary square. Whoa, whoa. Slow down, egghead.
Well, variations of the name nerd. Nerd was actually, it first appeared in a Dr. Seuss book, If I Run the Zoo.
Really?
It was published in 1950, and it was one of Dr. Seuss's many comical characters, and the book ends with something, with a statement made by Gerald McGrew, and he claims that he would collect a Nurkle, a nerd, and a seersucker too for his imaginary zoo.
So that's where seersucker suits come from.
Yeah.
It's an actual animal.
Yeah. And that is the first reference to nerd in 1950. And it started being in the 50s and the 60s. It was used in a derogatory sense. There was another spelling of nerd called N-U-R-D.
Mm.
And that comes, if you take drunk and spell it backwards and make the K silent, you get nerd, N-U-R-D. And they did that at some of the Ivy League schools because they says nerds just don't know how to party. They get drunk backwards. But I think N-E-R-D is actually the preferred spelling. Yeah. Now, you'll be glad to know that in 2006, they started Nerd Pride Day on May 25th. We missed Nerd Pride Day.
It was last month.
We didn't even talk about it.
It was started in Spain. We completely overlooked it. Now, one of my favorite websites is slash.org, and that's News for Nerds, Stuff That Matters. I love that website. I look at it every week. And so Charles J. Sykes, this is a famous quote about nerds. Be nice to nerds. Chances are you'll end up working for one
someday. That's a good point.
So being a nerd now is hip, and it was made popular by our wealthiest nerd, Bill Gates. Now, the question is, are you a nerd? And there's a nerd test out there.
You can pretty well tell.
Yeah,
you don't need to take the test.
No, you can take this test, and you can go to nerdtests.com, nerdtest.com. You can take the test, and you can see how nerdy you are. Now, I brought in what I had when I was in college, my slide rule.
Is that a slide rule in your pocket, or are you just happy to see us?
This is my slide rule. And now, this was before calculators or cell phones. There's actually a belt loop on this thing, and you'd wear the slide rule around.
This thing is a foot long.
Exactly.
It looks like you've got a sword there.
I know. So whoever nerd has the longest slide rule has the most power.
Is that your phone doctor shirts?
Oh, I think he's just happy to see us. That is my phone.
Yeah.
First I thought it was my
phone. Oh, my God. That was my phone. I thought it was a sound effect.
No, that was the phone.
I thought it was a sound effect.
I sure hope it's important.
So I just turned them off. And so I brought in my... I hadn't looked at my slide rule for years. This is a post slide. I love this slide rule. I carried it with me everywhere.
Yeah, I'll bet you did.
I took the nerd test.
Did you? Now, how did you score?
I took the nerd test. I discovered on the nerd test I scored 78. 22% of the people are nerdier than me, and then 77% are not as nerdy as I am. I think it was my age that was running against it.
I got a 45.
You got a 45.
Lightly nerdy.
Yeah, okay.
Lightly nerdy.
Lightly nerdy.
Yeah.
So
I think I'd be nerdy with a twist of lime, if that's okay.
Yeah. So I really love this slide rule. I spent many a time working with it, and then, of course, it was replaced with calculators. I used to have an old HP calculator. I loved what they call reverse Polish notation in the old.
And this is time for the most dangerous part of this show as we open up the phones. A few moments ago, I asked you not one but two questions. Now we'll go to line number two. This is Ricardo calling from Rockville, Maryland. Good morning, Ricardo. How are you? Good. I asked two questions earlier. Which question are you going to pick?
The number one.
Number one is, what was Linus Torvald's mascot? And the answer, say you?
Penguin.
That is... Wait a minute. What was the penguin's name?
Bucks.
That's correct. And now I've gotten rid of the winning music. Let's put that back in. We have to do this right. You are the winner. You have won free tickets for lunch. Tickets for two to the Escoffier at Stratford University, either on the campus of Stratford in Falls Church or Cafe Carum down in Woodbridge, Virginia. I suspect Falls Church is closer for you. Would you say that, Ricardo?
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
Very good. Well, have you been listening to us for long?
Yes.
Great. Well, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling us on the Saturday morning, and stand by. Andrew will take your information. This is the Best of Tech Talk. You're listening to us on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by. More tech news coming up.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Best of Tech Talk from the virtual faculty lounge or the virtual auditorium at the campus of Stratford University. Graduation day, the doc is away presiding over commencement festivities and ceremonies at Stratford University in Falls Church. But when he's not doing that, he does an awful lot of research, as we hear here on the Best of Tech Talk.
Well, we were talking about geek or nerd. I got into this because we were sitting around one night at dinner, and my wife was saying, you know, before she met me, I was pretty much antisocial, and she has, and she somehow saved me from an otherwise miserable fate.
A boring, lonely life in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, she was dating football players, tennis players, and I was sitting there, you know,
yes,
twiddling my pencil.
Okay.
You know, it's a tough room.
It's a tough room, and I'm trying to elevate this thing.
Oh, are you really?
I'm trying to elevate this room.
You could have fooled me.
So, the question was,
Mr. Pencil.
It came up, are you a geek or a nerd? Now, there are many people who are confused out there with the modern terminology and are really unaware of the difference between geeks and nerds. Even more sadly, there are many geeks and nerds who do not know the true nature of their own stereotype. And that is truly a problem. So Tech Talk has done some very significant research here to try to shed some light on this.
Everybody needs to get in touch with their roots, recognize their lineage, and their
That's right. Now let's look at the Wikipedia definitions first.
Of course, that's the first place you would go.
That's the first place you want to go. Now let's see. Now, according to Wikipedia, a geek, the word geek is a slang term noting an individual as a peculiar or otherwise dislikable person.
So your wife was basically telling you that you were
peculiar. Especially one who is perceived to be overly intellectual. Now, here is
I wouldn't call you overly intellectual.
No, I mean, this is a kind of a mixed bag.
You hang out with us after all.
I know. Now, here's what Wikipedia said about nerds. Nerd is a term often bearing a derogatory connotation or stereotype that refers to a person who passionately pursues intellectual activities or other esoteric knowledge rather than engaging in more social activities, such as organized sports. Therefore, a nerd is often excluded from physical activity and considered to be a loner by peers. Now, let's go to the jargon file definitions, because we really want to pin this down, because there's a little bit of a difference here of all these. A geek, according to jargon file, a person who has chosen a concentration rather than conformities, rather a concentration of studies rather than conformity. One who pursues skill, especially technical skills and imagination, not mainstream social acceptance.
There's a geek right there.
Geeks usually accept new things and are excited by novelty. Most geeks are adept with computers and treat hacker as a term of respect. But not all are hackers themselves, and some who are in fact hackers normally call themselves geeks anyway. Now, jargon file defines nerds as a prerogative
pejorative
applied to anyone with an above average IQ and very few gifts at small talk or ordinary social rituals.
Kind of like that.
Okay, now let's look at the origin of the words, because there is no limit to the kind of research that we do here on Tech Talk. Geek.
Did you get government funding for this, by the way?
Oh, this was a $100,000 contract. Geek was first attested in 1876 with the meaning of fool. And it later became known to mean a performer engaging in bizarre acts like biting off the heads of live chickens, bats, or snakes.
Like a circus geek.
A circus geek or a geek show. Yeah, that's it. Now, here's the word nerd. The word nerd appears to have first appeared in a Dr. Seuss book, If I Ran the Zoo. And it was in this line, and then, just to show them, I'll sail to Katru and bring back an ikutch, a preep, a prue, a nurkle, a nerd, and a seersucker, too. And so that was the first appearance of the... Now, there are also related words that are very important for us to know. For instance, geekonics.
Geekonics.
Geekonics. Now, this is very important. Now, this is a...
I'm hooked on geekonics.
Yeah, this is a computer English. It's acronyms and buzzwords spoken by computer people who speak a whole lot of geekonics. The term comes from ebonics, which is the combination of English and black slang. So this is like geek and phonics, geekonics. Also, it's commonly called geek speak and nerd speak. So now, are you a geek or a nerd?
I think I'm a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll as well.
You're kind of a rock and roll. I think that in the end, I'm more geek than nerd. But if you look at it, I think geek is a subset of nerd.
It is. Yes. The two are so closely related. I mean, it's hard
I may
be
more nerd. What do you think?
See, I'm thinking...
It's hard for me to judge other people that way, but I'd say I'm definitely like you, a little bit of both.
I think a geek is a subset of nerd. Not all nerds are geeks, but all geeks are nerds.
Are nerds. That makes sense.
So there you go. And that is the kind of insightful talk that you get here on Tech Talk.
That was nerderific, let me tell you.
Now, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about passwords. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, one of the big problems with passwords, I'm just going to do one segment here on password management. One of the problems is, I mean, I've got about 20 passwords.
I've written mine down on an old ratty-looking envelope, and I keep it in my briefcase.
And you tape it to your monitor?
No, I don't tape it to my monitor.
Well, that is good. Okay, that would have been an F.
Yeah.
If you taped it to your monitor, that would have been an F. Yeah, you don't want to tape it to your monitor.
I just basically have, like, one password and username that I just alter slightly for each different
time. See, I can never remember when I do that.
I just alter one little thing in it.
That's also a weak way to go. That's probably a D.
Yeah, that's a D. Way to go, Naveed.
That's probably a D.
We both have flunked our midterm.
That's right. Yeah. Now the fact is, you know, I probably maintain about 15 or 20 different passwords.
Because you're smart.
You know, it's because, you know the definition. The definition of nerd that I always had, if you can remember 20 passwords but can't remember your wife's birthday, you're a nerd.
Then you're in big trouble, you are.
That's right. I know she's not listening. I know she's not listening, so, you know, I'm okay. You know, she's not listening.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm really not sure.
You know, this goes on a podcast, too.
I'm really not too sure about that.
Ruh-roh, Christmas, outside.
So one of the problems is you got these 20 passwords. They do have what they call password managers, where you can put all your passwords into an encrypted file, and then you just need one password to look them up. And one of the best is RoboForm. You can download this at roboform.com, and it actually will pull the password out and it will fill out a form for you directly without any problem at all. So RoboForm.com, it's free to download. If you want the professional version, it's only $29. A second one that's really quite good is PasswordSafe. You can download that from passwordsafe.sourceforge.net. That's an open source software, and it's what they call a password vault. So those of you that want to only remember one password, this may be the way to go.
This is certainly the way to go. The best of Tech Talk every Saturday morning here on Federal News Radio in Washington. You hear us on 1500 AM and 103.5 FM HD2. In the Northern Virginia suburbs, you can catch us on 107.7 FM HD2. And well north and west of D.C., Frederick Points West, 820 AM. We'll be right back right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio.
IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. Jim Ross sitting in for Dr. Richard Church, who is presiding over commencement at Stratford University in Falls Church today. Earlier we talked about geeks and nerds, and I'm sure more than a few geeks or nerds are graduating today. And you may be looking for a present for these folks, and we suspect a few of them may be going off for beach week. So here's a little bit more on geeks and nerds on the Best of Tech Talk.
Now let's go to beach gear for the geek. Now, of course, you go to the beach. Every geek has got to have his laptop at the beach. So you're sitting out there on the beach with your laptop, and your battery runs out. So you've got to keep a way to keep your battery recharged. And what better way to do it than to have a solar-powered laptop?
But of course.
So what I did a little research on it. It turns out that laptops, on average, were used between 30 and 70 watts of power when they're on. Of course, our geek is probably going to be at the upper end of that because they're going to be running their gaming.
Of course, have
all of their graphics going there. And so I'm recommending that you get two 30-watt solar panels. You need a voltage regulator. You could also get a reserve battery, which is optional. And you can get that whole kit, a laptop solar-powered system, for only $800.
Oh, just $800.
But you can sit there out in the sun, and you can have your laptop on the entire day, and you will never have a problem. Now, you do need internet access, though. And internet access from the beach is a problem.
Yes, it is.
So you need to have a high-gain Wi-Fi antenna that you can point back at all the condos along there. And there's always some weenie who forgets to secure his wireless.
Now, this would be the antenna that you brought in last
that's
week.
That's right. That would be the cantenna. That's basically like a tin can with a feed at the quarter wave point. And it's like a flashlight beam. It's got about a 30-degree beam. You point that back at all the condos till you find a wireless access point that isn't secured. Or you could point it back at your own, which is, of course, the only thing that I would do.
I would only be
looking at my own wireless.
Which would be located in the penthouse apartment at the very top.
That's right. And so you've got your Wi-Fi. Now, if you want to be the ultimate geek on the beach, you need the solar umbrella. Now, the sunbrella is actually a round disc solar panel that has a pole in it like an umbrella, and so you sit underneath the solar panel and use the solar panel as your umbrella. That's the sunbrella. Now, this solar panel is 6 feet in diameter, and it has an output of 282 watts.
I'm sure it folds for very smart and easy packing,
yeah,
too.
Now, with 282 watts, you could power your laptop. You could have a small refrigerator there to keep all of your, Gator Egg.
I mean, right,
because
of course.
Geek's not going to be drinking
beer. No, not going to be drinking beer.
So you could have all sorts of lighting, 282 watts, powered by your solar umbrella. Now, the last thing that a geek needs, he needs something to attract women.
That's right.
A babe magnet.
And a babe magnet, nothing says babe magnet like a pet, maybe a pet dinosaur.
That's right. You need a pet. Now, you don't want to have a dog because that's just too much work. You've got to feed it. So we're recommending a robotic pet. And the latest robotic pet that's out is actually a cute little one-week-old dinosaur.
And that's what you hear talking to us in the background.
This is Pleo, P-L-E-O. You can go to uglobe.com, uglobe.com. This is a very sophisticated dinosaur. It actually learns from you. And it actually develops a life with you. As it's got built into it 32-bit microprocessors. It's got 8-bit subprocessors for the motor control.
Ooh, sounds like Pleo had too much beefarino for
it's
breakfast.
It's got 14 motors in. It's got over 100 custom-designed gears. It's got camera-based vision system with light detection and navigation. Microphones for bioral hearing. In other words, it's got two ears. It has skin sensors on the chin, the head, the shoulders, the back. This little dinosaur almost looks real.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You touch it and it responds. It is just amazing to look at it. This is put out by uglobe.com. They've had this in development. It's won all kinds of awards. Now, this is the thing. The first units are going to ship October 15th, so you can buy this in time for Christmas.
That's right.
Now, here's the only downside. $345.
Yeah, that's a bit of a downside. And, you know, the other thing I noticed is that he only works for an hour. You got to plug him into the wall for 4 hours, and that yields about an hour of usage.
Yeah, you plug him in for an hour.
I want Pleo at my beck and call all the time.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to leave him on his lifeline then. You just have to leave his lifeline on. You can leave his lifeline plugged in.
And that's what extension cords are
exactly.
made for.
Exactly. He just has a lifeline, and he's going good forever.
Gotcha. Oh, boy,
now,
Pleo was
angry. Pleo can have new personalities now. Go to that website. It is really great to look at him operate.
Mm-hmm.
Pleo World, PLEOworld.com, and they've got some great Apple things there. So you're all geeked out. You've got your sunbrella. Or if you don't want a sunbrella, you've got your solar laptop. You've got your high-gain antenna for internet access, and you've got your babe magnet.
The Pleo.
The Pleo.
This is the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. You can learn more about this show by going to techtalkonline.com. From there, you can look at outlines of previous programs. You can also download MP3s of every Tech Talk program Dr. Schertz has ever done in the history of Tech Talk. You can do it there. Listen to it there. You can also download our podcast off of Apple iTunes. If you want to know more about Stratford University, which is where the doc is today for commencement, you can go to stratford.edu with campuses in Falls Church and Richmond, in Richmond. And also, he's got some more coming up that we'll be sure to be talking about in other shows. And if you missed this show, you're just tuning in now, it will replay today on this very radio station right after the Nats game at about 5 o'clock. Once again, this is Tech Talk on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We will be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they are retrained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio.
IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the best of Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio. And we've been talking about graduation today. What would graduation be without the graduation party? And I think it is cookout weather here on the best of Tech Talk.
Now, it's summertime, and it's time to do barbecuing.
Exactly.
And, so whenever I have something to barbecue at the house, I've got the steaks there and I've got the hamburgers. So somebody says, well, I want mine medium rare. And somebody else says, well, I want mine medium well.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else says, I want mine rare. And so I've got 20 different steaks and 20 different orders. It becomes overwhelming.
You feel like you're working at Ponderosa.
I know. So, the last time we had it, because you can really calculate how long a steak should cook, because there's basically thermal conduction going through the steak. So I could treat it as a one-dimensional thermal diffusion problem, plug it into the differential equation. I could do a calculation based on the thermal conductivity of the meat, and I could compute exactly how long to cook each of these pieces.
But by then, everybody's gone off to Ruth's Chris or wherever
exactly.
You get the steak.
Well, last time I brought out my laptop, and I started solving the thermal diffusion equation. Marianne told me, just put away my laptop and throw the steaks on. They mm-hmm. really didn't appreciate it. Well, it turns out, for the nerd in all of us, there's a grilling calculator.
Unbelievable.
And it does it for you. And so what you do, you go to charcoalbob.com. That's charcoalbob.com. And you click on the cookout calculator tab. And what you do is you put in the type of meat, whether it's beef or chicken or steak, because all of those cook at a different rate because they're different thermal conductivities, of course.
Sure.
And then you put in the cut of the meat, the thickness of the meat, and the degree of doneness. And then you plug in the temperature of your grill, whether it's, you have to know the temperature of the grilling surface
mm-hmm.
and whether it's a covered grill or an open grill. And whether it's charcoal or gas. So you put in that, and I happen to know that what mine is, I've got a gas grill at home, and it's covered. And I know what the temperature is because there's a little thermometer there. So I just plug that in. And what it does, and I put in various steaks and all, and it creates a cookout timeline. Now, you've got the cookout timeline right in front of you there.
I do.
And it's like a time chart. Like I said, I want to start cooking at noon. And it tells me what to do at each moment so that everything comes out at the same time.
See, when I first heard you talking about this, I thought you're going to need 16 different clocks to figure out each cut of meat. But no, this tells you when to put the T-bone on, then when to put the sirloin, and then the hamburger. And it gives you a start time and then in progress what to do along the way, when to turn it. And
At 12 o'clock, put on one T-bone. At 12:04, you turn over a T-bone. At 12:03, you put on a hamburger.
Right.
So it's a timeline. It's like a project management timeline. So it turns the
whole... A flow chart for barbecue.
It's a flow chart for your barbecue. So all you need to do, you go to the charcoalbob.com, create the flow chart for your barbecue. You've got one clock. And you just follow that, and it all comes out perfectly.
So it looks like here we're to be at your house by 12 noon.
That's,
I think I can swing that.
You can do that. Okay.
Naveed, what do you want? You want the filet this time, or...
I'll be asleep by 12 noon.
Oh, okay.
And everything
we'll get you a doggy bag.
Yeah.
How's that?
So that's charcoalbob.com. That looks like a pretty nice tool there.
That's a great idea.
When you have your next barbecue.
Thank you for joining us today for the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. You're listening to us on 1500 and 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. And again, some reminders about where you can find us on the web. Everything about this show is available at techtalkonline.com. Get previous show outlines. Listen to all of our previous shows there. You can get podcasts for each of our Tech Talk shows by going to Apple iTunes. And to learn more about Stratford University, go to stratford.edu. And, of course, we love your emails here, so go to Tech Talk Online and send us emails there. If you missed this show today, you can tune in later on. After the Nats game, at about 5 o'clock this afternoon, there will be a Tech Talk replay of this particular broadcast. Thanks for listening. Be back next week here on Tech Talk Radio.
commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
And, of course, later today on Federal News Radio, the Battle of the Beltways continue. The Nats versus the O's at Nationals Park. Of course, the Nats victorious last night. Catch the pregame show at 12:30. First pitch just after 1 o'clock here on Federal News Radio. The weather forecast, summer-like today. Cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms later on. We're going to have more showers and thunderstorms tonight. Right now, it is 75 going to 91. It's 10 o'clock in the nation's capital.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and